Well, hello. I hope that you are doing well. You're staying home. You're staying safe. It's good to be able to come and bring you the Word of God. And we're going to spend some time, Lord willing, over the next few weeks talking about the church. And I'm calling this series the Beautiful Church Sermon Series. Now, things have changed because of this virus. We have been forced to remove ourselves from others and from the church, from the gatherings of the church for a few months now. People have been missing community. But just because we miss something doesn't mean that we will fully appreciate it and enjoy it when it returns. I want us to spend a few weeks looking at how beautiful the church of God is by God's own design, and how we can get the most out of it, the most joy, the most blessing from it. And to begin this series, I want us to talk about the unspeakably wondrous and beautiful God that we serve. When you think about the gospel, what's the best part of the gospel? Is it the forgiveness of sins? The removal of judgment? The promise of eternity? I would say no. None of these things are the best part of the gospel. The best part of the gospel is God. All those other things are the gifts, but God alone is the giver. The reason that heaven is forever joy-filled is because God is there. The best part of the gospel is fellowship, unity with God. The worst judgment of the fall wasn't death. It was separation from God. For unity with God, fellowship with God, is the best part of salvation, of the gospel, because God is the best that there can ever be. By the grace of God, through faith in the work of Jesus, we can be united to God in peace and in love forever. This is the best part of the gospel, that we can know and have and enjoy relationship with God. Today, I want us to remember that God is so great, so glorious, so marvelous, so full of joy and love that He is our greatest reward and desire. I want us to look together at Psalm 84, verses 10 through 12, that say this: "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in You." Let's pray together. Father God, I thank You for the goodness of who You are and what You have given to us in Christ. And I ask, Lord, that as we seek to go to You, that You would open our eyes again to see Your beauty, that we would gaze upon You through Jesus Christ, and that we would be enamored again, that we would become addicted to Your beauty, Your glory, so that our lives would be changed by it. God, in light of Your benevolent character, we pray that You would protect and bless those in Midland. Father, with the flooding, I pray that You would be with the churches down there, and Lord, that You would use them to share the gospel and to provide for the widows and for the poor and for the sick and for the those who are alone. Father, the church would not only meet physical needs, but would also seek to minister to the hearts of people and introduce them not just to a dry basement, but to a holy and beautiful God. And Lord, I pray that You would be with the churches in our community, Lord, as our church is opening up this week and as other churches have been opening up, I pray that You would bring unity to the church and the church would do all of these things well and with wisdom. Father, I pray that we would not unnecessarily cause a hindrance to the world in seeing the beauty of You and the beauty of your Son and the beauty of the gospel that you give us through Christ. God, help us to remember again the blessings that you have given us in the church. Help us not to be marred by some of our sometimes twisted views of what it is and even sometimes what it should be. But help us to know that by your design, the church is beautiful. Help us to know how to love it and get the most out of it. We thank you for being with us and ask that you would teach us by your word through your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want us just to walk through each of these three verses together. And we start with verse 10. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Now, have you ever played that game with some of your friends where money is no object and you have to answer, you know, if you had unlimited resources, what would you do with one day? Now, my answer always revolved around great seats at a baseball game. But notice what the psalmist says. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. No other place is even worth comparing to the wonder and joy of the presence of God. To spend one day with him in his presence is 1,000 times better than any other day in any other place doing any other thing. Notice that the author says that he would rather be a servant watching the door than dwell as a special guest in the presence of the wicked. So in other words, it is better to be in the worst seat in the house of God than in the best seat in any other house. The author is stressing that God is always more enjoyable than sin, than any sin. We may not fully get it now, but as we grow more and more in our understanding of Christ, we will understand that better. Unfortunately, our sinful nature and our sinful desires trick us into thinking that sin is good and enjoyable. That is why we long for it. That is why, for example, we hold to anger at times and vengeance instead of embracing forgiveness and grace. Because we have been deceived into thinking that sin is better than godliness. But with one good glimpse at God, everything starts to change. For in God alone is ultimate peace, joy, and satisfaction. Psalm 16:11 makes this beautiful statement. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Now here the author is speaking of this reality of life after death and being with God, being in God's presence. And what he has to say here is that The blessings of eternity cannot be disconnected from the presence of God. In other words, it is impossible to disconnect the pleasures of eternity, of heaven, with the presence of God. For he is the source and the foundation of all good things. Our God is so beautiful. We need to learn to behold him more. To gaze upon him more fully, to dream of him, so that we see his beauty and long more and more for his return, more and more for him. And next, the psalmist talks about God's greatness as shown in his benevolence, meaning the gracious blessing that is given to those who are close to him. So now we move to verse 11. Verse 11, it begins by saying, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Now, nowhere else in the Old Testament is God directly called a sun. Now, notice that we're saying S-U-N, sun, not S-O-N, sun. By sun here, we're comparing God to the sun that gives the earth its heat, all right? S-U-N. Now, although God is nowhere else compared to the Son, the Messiah is called the Son of Righteousness. In Malachi 4:2, it says, "For you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves." I love that text because it talks about the Son of Righteousness rising and his rays shining out. And for those who are enveloped or soaked in the rays, in his rays, they go out and frolic. I mean, they're just full of joy, carefree. Jesus here is pictured as the Son of Righteousness, who instead of giving heat from his rays like the sun, would give healing in his rays. This is a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done, who has healed us by his presence. It reminds me of in the Gospel of John, where we are reminded that all who look to the Son will be forgiven. Just as Moses raised up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, and all who looked to him were healed from the serpent's bite, so all who look to the Son in faith will also be healed. They will be healed by his rays. Now the point in Psalm 84:11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield," seems to be an allusion to God's means of blessing us, blessing people through his Son, the one who through his glorious sacrificial death healed us, so that all who look to him, the Son of Righteousness, would be healed by his rays. In light of this allusion to the Son of Righteousness, it is in him that we see the greatest expression of God's favor toward us. God's great generosity toward us is seen most fully in the giving of his Son. The giving of his Son, not just to rule, but also to die. To do so on our behalf, in our place. God sent his perfect Son, perfect in holiness, to redeem those corrupted by sin. In Jesus, God has chosen us, loved us, redeemed us, indwelt us, adopted us, and prepared a place in heaven for us, where we may dwell with him for all eternity in the joy of his presence. He has done all this, not because we deserve any of it, but because of his generous character. Because of the beauty of his being. God not only shows his benevolence toward us in his blessing of us, but also in his protection of us. For the psalmist also says that the Lord is our shield, which is similar to Psalm 144, verse 2. It says, "He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me." Friends, Jesus is our greatest blessing and our best protection. He alone can protect us and deliver us from the hand and control of Satan and death and sin, our great enemies. And next, the psalmist said, the Lord bestows favor and honor. And it is important for us to note that any favor and honor that God bestows upon anyone is done by grace, not by merit, not by deserving it. For no one deserves God's honor. No one is of greater worth or due like God is. Even though no one deserves God's favor and honor, yet he still, in showing his great benevolence, still bestows it lavishly upon those who don't deserve it. I mean, why would he do this? Why would he love us, sacrifice his Son for us? Why? When we are bound in sin, dead in sin, and love our sin. The only reason is because of the beauty of his generous character. And then comes a statement in Psalm 84, verse 11, that is so glorious that it was the life verse of the great George Mueller. Now, George was born in 1805, and he was known mostly for caring for orphans and for his full confidence in God to supply his needs. It is estimated that he cared for a little over 10,000 orphans through the orphanages that he opened and ran in his lifetime. 10,000. He also raised money and opened over 100 Christian schools that over his lifetime educated a little more than 120,000 children. During his lifetime, he was so generous towards orphans, toward the least of these, that he was accused of the great sin of raising the poor above their natural station and changing the dynamics of British life, an accusation that he was proud to own. In the early part of 1870, George's first wife, Mary, was dying. And this was a very difficult thing for him to struggle through. He had always trusted in God's benevolence, God's goodness. But now his love lay dying before him, and he couldn't do anything to help her. And he had to wrestle with the question, why would God allow this? But then he found this verse that said, no good thing does God withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And from that text, he concluded that his God would never withhold good from him or his wife because of their belief in the work of Jesus Christ. So if his wife lived, it was God blessing both him and his wife. And if she died, he concluded it was just another way of God blessing both him and his wife. He used to say, I may not understand how this is so, I just know that it is. It was this verse that strengthened him through both her death and all of the other difficulties that he faced in his lifetime. He trusted that his beautiful God was only allowing him to endure trials as an expression of his love and blessing in his life. God was working all things for his good and would never withhold any good from him. This was his encouragement throughout the rest of his life. This statement is not meant just to encourage the likes of George Mueller. It is also meant to strengthen the faith of all who cling to Jesus as their hope, their salvation, and their reward. God Almighty, in light of his beauty, doesn't withhold good from those who trust in him. It was good that Joseph endured all that he did, for God was molding him and using him for his good purposes. It may not have felt good at the time for Joseph, but God's ways are always better than our ways. It was good that Job endured all that he did because God was working in him a peculiar and particular glory. It was good that the Apostle Paul endured all that he did because God was using it for his own good. God works all things for the good of those who love him. And it was good that Jesus endured all that he did because God redeemed us through his great righteousness. Now, the term blameless does not necessarily imply perfection. It means uprightly or with integrity. But the fulfillment of this is seen in Jesus, not in us. For Jesus died on our behalf. perfect in all that he was. He died on our behalf so that we could be clothed in his righteousness. He took our sin upon himself so that he could give us his righteousness, his blamelessness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 makes this clear. It says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are blameless by faith in Jesus Christ, the only truly blameless one. But how can we be sure that God will not withhold anything good from those whose walk is blameless? Well, before Jesus, people had to hope because of the promises of God and the graciousness of his character. But after Jesus came, the blessed position where we find ourselves in, we have a sure hope. Because if God gave up his beautiful son, how could we possibly imagine that he wouldn't give us all other things that we would need? Romans 8:32, the Apostle Paul makes this point. He says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? What an encouragement we have when we face trials, knowing that no good thing will God withhold from those whose walk is blameless. What great blessing this is. What a great love God has lavished upon us in Jesus. It is because of the beauty of God that the old saying is true, that you can never outgive God. Now let's turn and let's look at the last verse for us to consider this morning. Verse 12. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Lord Almighty is the name Yahweh Sabaoth, literally the all-powerful Lord of armies or the Lord of heavenly armies. And this name emphasizes God's ultimate power. He is the ruler of the greatest army that can or will ever be. And the point is not his army or the strength of his army, but that he has, that he possesses power in himself, that he is the I am. Not the I was or I will be, but that I am. I am the always present possessor of power. Psalm 62:11 says, power belongs to you, God. Here is the place where trust is determined. For in this life, with its trials and pains, it can be easy at times to think that God does not love us, that God does not give us good things, that God is not the most beautiful being, that our present sufferings are not being worked by God's gracious hands for our good and eternal bliss. Granted, when our eyes are focused so much on the here and now, it can be easy to doubt the beauty of God. But there is blessing to be found for all those who will trust in God. Trust in Jesus alone and walk by faith in obedience to him. For blessed is the one who trusts in him. For in Jesus we have been eternally blessed, and that blessing will never, ever end. But instead, it will just grow over time as we enjoy the rays of his beauty and his glory as they are poured out upon us. If you have Jesus, then you are abundantly blessed of God. You are loved, forgiven, and you have God's grace that has been promised to you, to see you through from start to finish. For all those who trust in God by grace, through faith in Jesus, you are blessed now and given blessing upon blessing in Christ for eternity to come. Let his rays of healing and beauty and peace envelop you as you walk with him and gaze upon him through the study of his word and walking in obedience with him. As one author put it, one day we shall see the Lord face to face. And our hearts will thrill to a flood tide of emotion, happiness, bliss, and joy. We cannot have this new wine in the old wineskins we inhabit just now, but there, in bodies fashioned for glory, we shall know joy and happiness full and overflowing forevermore. No matter the trials you are enduring, trust in the providence of God in it. Trust that you have God in Jesus. Trust that God will never withhold good from those who are blameless in Christ. Fix your eyes, not upon the trials of this life, but upon the eternal beauty of our God. Let Him, let His rays, let His brightness, let His beauty encourage, strengthen, and grow your heart and your faith. Let me leave you with the words of Martin Luther. He said, "Let the world have their rich ones, their powerful ones, their wise ones, and their consolations in this world. Let them trust and glory in their wisdom, their might, their wealth, and their possession. My heart triumphs in the beauty of the living God." Oh, I pray that your heart would triumph in light of His beauty and the intimacy that you can have with Him because of the work of Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you and we bless you, for you are so glorious. You are so beautiful that you are beyond our understanding. God, help us to consistently reach toward you and seek to see you as clearly as we can, so that we may be enamored again, filled again with the joy of your beauty as you, in your benevolence and in just your being. Let us be reminded again that you are most glorious. That it doesn't matter if we gain the whole world and lose you, then we have lost all things. And if we lose the whole world but gain you, then we have more wealth than anyone ever could. God, help us to fix our eyes upon your beauty. Allow the rays of your sun to shine upon us and heal us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to grow and to long to see you more clearly. We thank you for who you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.